Amen. I hope that's how you feel. This world is not our home. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, where I'm going to take my text tonight. I'm not going to 1 John nor to Matthew, but an entirely different thought. And to be honest with you, my message tonight be more of an exhorting than just doctrinal preaching. What I'm going to be dealing with, you know, I'm sure be nothing new. But I hope that it'll be helpful. I do believe that it is timely and needed in our day, and actually goes in with some of what we've been dealing with. But I want to use it tonight. I think would be helpful and bring glory to the Lord. That's what it's all about. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10. You know, that's dealing with the spiritual warfare. And I mentioned Wednesday night, got to preach a little bit about that fact that there are evil spirits in the world. The Bible says that very plainly. And there's a warfare going on. I'm not going to get deep in it tonight, but I'm just going to exhort you a little bit from the Scriptures, verse by verse, in these verses as we look at it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, and I'll read down through verse number 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We'll stop reading there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Father, again, thanking you, Lord, for the day and for the blessings you've given us. I pray and ask that you'd just again meet with us tonight.
Please, God.
As we open the Word of God, as we're reminded about the whole armor of God, that you would help us, Lord, to listen and to apply,
yes,
Lord, these things day by day. I ask and pray that you again be with the Simpsons and this. Mrs. Hall and others, Lord, they're sick and afflicted in body. Lift them up, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Look back, if you will, verses 10 and 11. And that'll be where I'll begin with. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now this text, as I've said before, is probably very familiar to most Christians. And yet I'm convinced that most of the time we fail to comprehend exactly what's being taught in these verses. Most of us would rather just get along. We'd rather not have battles. In the years that I've pastored, I've thought, Lord, you know, it'd be a blessing not to have struggles. It'd be a blessing just, you know, to live in a state of revival. Just, you know, everybody's happy. That's over there at the other church. That's over there. Everybody's happy over there. It's never wherever I've been. They've never been everybody. I don't know if it's got anything to do with me or not. But seriously, you think about, it'd be nice just to be able to go where everybody's happy, everybody's healthy. I mean, every service, sinners are getting saved. Every service, people are rejoicing, and it's just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful all the time. But we're not living in glory yet. Amen. We were talking a little bit after the service today. Jacob and Josh and I were talking about really about spiritual warfare, some of the evil that's in our world. And Brother Jacob made the comment. He said, where can you go? Where can we move to get away from all that? I said, heaven. That's the only place. And that's true. It's the only place. I'm glad I'm going there. Amen. But as long as we're in the world, Paul, the writer of this book, and of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul said, now, brethren, you better put on the armor because we're in a battle. That's the point that he's making. Amen. And so my title is this. We are in a constant battle. We're in a constant battle. Amen. Our battle is threefold. We hear it constantly, but it's truth. Our battle with the devil, with the world, and with the flesh. You can put those in any order that you'd like to, but we have that battle. Can I say to you that the devil, Satan, does not like any of God's children? Amen. God don't have favorites, and neither does the devil. The devil don't like any of us. If you're a child of God, the devil's against you. He's constantly attacking, constantly fighting against the children of God. Why is that? It's not us. It's because he hates our Father. He hates the Lord that we represent. Amen. Excuse me. And so the devil is constantly attacking. Matter of fact, we're attacked on every side. And sometimes we're attacked from sides we didn't expect to be attacked from. Surprise attacks. Brother Steve mentioned it this morning, the children of Amalek, how they attacked Israel. God told Saul, go and destroy them, utterly destroy them because of what they had done to Israel when Israel came through the wilderness. They had just gotten out of the Red Sea. By the way, the Amalekites and the Israelites were cousins. Amalekites are the descendants of Lot. Amen. And so Abraham and Lot was his nephew, so in a sense, these people are cousins, but the Amalekites lay wait on the children of Israel. They hid in the bushes, so to speak. They hid behind the rocks or whatever there was to hide behind while the children of Israel passed on by. And then they snuck up behind them and attacked them when they were not expecting it. They had not provoked them. They had done nothing against them. Can I tell you that is exactly what the devil loves to do to this very day? He's going to probably attack us every day. And the day you think he's not attacked, he's looking for a way to get you while you're not expecting it. Amen. He attacks us from every direction, sometimes from a surprise direction. Sometimes we're not only surprised by the direction he comes from, we're surprised by the velocity. I mean, just the onslaught. Just one thing after the other that the devil seems to come in our life. Amen. Can I say that it is important for us to have the armor of God because the armor of God protects us on every front, amen, on every part, that he will protect us by way of this whole armor of God. Amen. And so it is important. That's why he said, look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It insinuates to me that if we don't have the armor on, we probably won't be able to stand. The devil's going to get us somewhere along the line. Amen. And so it's certainly wise, and God is certainly wise, and God is certainly good to give us this armor, amen, and to list it and to tell us that it will help us withstand our enemy. God has provided what we need, all we need. Our job is to educate ourselves about it. Our job is to apply it in our life, amen. And I want to look at that in our thoughts today. Now, before I look at it verse by verse and give you the thoughts on my heart, I want to say this, a couple or several things by way of introduction. Number one, I want to mention that this putting on of the armor, this warning of the attacks of the devil, comes immediately after information Paul's just given about our business life. Look at verses 5 through 9. We picked up reading in verse 10, but look at verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good that any man doeth the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And your masters do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master, I like that, also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, he goes on to talk about put on the whole armor of God. So here he's talking about our business life. I reckon, this is my thoughts, and I believe it's right, that one of the places we're tempted in may very well be our business life. There may be a temptation to be dishonest in order to get ahead. Amen. Maybe a temptation to bend the rules, as they say, just a little bit, in order to try to get ahead. Maybe there's a temptation to be a little slack. My dad never called it slack, he just called it lazy. But maybe there's a tendency or a temptation to be a little slack in our business dealings. I do like that how that he puts this in here, and this is a thought that came to my mind. The same Bible, the same section of Scriptures that tells the wife to be in subjection to her husband, and husbands love that. It tells that husband, when you're down on the job, you be in subjection to your boss man. Same principle, same Bible. Amen. But I wonder if he doesn't mention this about spiritual warfare in this particular case because we face temptation in that very thing. Can I tell you, you may need to brace yourself. The devil may very well even use not just your work situation and your work ethic, but those you work with to question your faith, to call into question what you believe. They'll do that if they can. Amen. And the devil will use your co-workers, maybe because you need to brace yourself against their opinions and brace yourself against their slights and the things that they say, their little snide comments that they make behind their hand and things like that about you. Amen. Sometimes they'll give you a compliment that's a backdoor compliment. It's not really meant to be a compliment. Amen. It's meant to run you down. And it's all because of the fact they don't believe like we do. God warns us to stand and fight. Amen. Not that we're fighting against our co-worker. He said we're not against flesh and blood, but it is against the spirit of wickedness that's in this world. The second thing I notice about this, when this is placed here, it's not only placed right after he's talking about business dealings, but this is the same section talking about our home dealings too. Husbands and wives, chapter 5, verse 22, I believe it is. From verse number 21 down through chapter 6 and verse 4. Husbands and wives, it deals with that, and it deals with children and parents, and even parent, or at least father, to child that he deals with in these cases. And so, again, he warns us, and I believe that the devil may very well attack us in our spouse. He may use our spouse against us. He may use our children against us. He may use our parents against us. He may use people in our own household. He said, you better have your armor on. Let me just back up and say this. Men, when you go to work, you better have your armor on when you go to work. Amen. I'll say this. Men, when you come home to your wife, you better have your armor on. Amen. And wives, when he's on his way home, you better have your armor on. I'm just simply saying the devil is going to fight. I'm not talking about we got to fight each other. Amen. I'm not dealing with that aspect of it. He said our fight's not with flesh and blood. Amen. But our fight is in the spiritual realm. Now, again, this information about the armor comes after business life. It comes after talking about our home life. But interspersed in that section there on the home life from verse 21 down through verse number 32, really, of chapter 5, he's interspersed in there talking about the church, our church life, our religious life. And you know there's a few things the devil hates. He hates the church. The devil hates the church of the living God. Amen. He hates the home. But in his hatred for the church, the devil tries to keep people from going to church. The devil gives every excuse he can to keep them out or to get them out once they've gotten in. Amen. The devil will do his best to point out all the hypocrites down there at the house of God. The devil will cause conflicts even among the saints of God in the house of God if he can. And cause those conflicts to rise up our feelings if we don't have our armor on, by the way. Those conflicts may very well escalate in a manner they shouldn't have never gotten to. Amen. You know it and I know it. Sometimes just a little remark or a little action or just the absence of a remark or the absence of an action gets carried to the extreme. Why is that? One reason, because we're fighting against flesh and blood. We're supposed to be fighting against spirit world. But the devil uses those things to pit us one against the other. Amen. I'm backing up even a little bit further than that. I noticed that this information about the warfare, he says it's finally. And so I believe that finally, he said, this is the last brick on this pile. This is the last part of the building. But it's all tied together. Back in chapters 5, verses 18 through 21, he talks about our thought life. Amen. He talks about this spiritual life, spirit-filled life, and having the proper thought life. Amen. Look at verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That don't necessarily mean just singing to yourself, although that's not bad that you sing to yourself, but it's your thought life he's dealing with here. And what you're saying on the inside, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Amen. So he's dealing with the proper thought life. Now I say this, and I believe it's right. Spirit-filled people listen to the right kind of music. Amen. I don't believe spirit-filled people listen to drums from Africa. I don't believe spirit-filled people listen to heavy metal that comes from somewhere darker than Africa. Amen. From the pit. I don't believe that spirit-filled people are listening to country and western and hip-hop and pop and rock and on and on. Amen. Spirit-filled people listen to the right kind of music. What is that? He said it's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. And that helps them, by the way, maintain a right thought life. Those other things don't lead to a right thought life. And all you got to do is study a little bit of it, and you know that it's true. Well, but he says that it will lead us to being thankful. Amen. To being thankful. I believe rock music leads people to being sexual or rebellious, or both. I believe that country music a lot of times leads people, again, it leads them to drinking, or it leads them to gambling or carousing and a lot of the stuff that goes along in that musical realm. Leads them maybe to grumbling and complaining about, you know, all the bad things that's happened. Amen. You've heard the story before. You know, if you play rock music backwards, you hear that satanic message. If you play country music backwards, your lost dog comes home, your car gets fixed, your marriage gets fixed back up. Amen. That's a joke. It's a bad joke. Amen. But he said this right kind of music leads us to being thankful. Amen. Thankful people are not cheating on the job. Thankful people are not cheating on their spouse. Thankful people are not proud and arrogant and hypocrites. Thankful people are right with God. God warns us to protect our thought life. Amen. To stand and fight against the devil. Now, back in our scripture, look at verse number 10 again. Finally, my brethren, after all these, deal with our thought life, deal with our church life, deal with our home life, deal with our business life. He says, in order to tie all this together, you're going to need strength that's beyond your strength. You're going to have to stand in the power of His might. That's what he says in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong, not in yourself, but in the Lord. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Our business life, home life, church life, thought life can never be completely right in the energy of our own flesh, in the power of our own being. We need God's constant help, amen, in order to keep things right in all those realms. Our flesh grows weak, our flesh grows weary, even in well-doing, many times in these angles. And so God warns us, We got to stand in His strength. Amen. We got to stand in His might. His spirit never grows weak. His spirit never gives in. Therefore, if we're going to stand and fight, we need to fight in His strength. Amen. Now, each of these areas, I believe, are covered in this armor. God gives this armor to His soldiers. Amen. God has given thought as to what our needs are, and I believe He'll help cover every area that we have need of protection from the devil with His armor. Now let's look at it. Let me give you the first point, verses 11 through 14. I say this, stand your ground with the truth. Ephesians 6, verse 11 through 14. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, I underline that word, against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, underline that word, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, underline that again. And then verse number 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. How do we stand? We've got to stand on the truth. We're not standing on another religion. We're not standing on myths and fables. We're standing on the truth. And that's why we're able to stand. Amen. Each of these verses, in one way or another, tells us to stand. And I believe the first piece of armor that's mentioned here, he talks about the girdle of truth, being girt about with truth. Amen. Verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth. If you heard Bible echoes recently, he was going through some of this. And he kept talking about the belt of truth. That's what he called it, the belt of truth. Maybe in our modern language, that might be a little bit more the way it would be. It's what cinches up and holds up your breeches. Girds your loins about. Amen. But the idea is here, listen, that's important. It's important that we stand in the truth. Amen. The loins here deals with the center of strength, the center of power. And we have no strength outside the truth. We have no power outside the truth. Amen. That's what we have to stand on. The loins here not only deals with power and strength, but it also deals with reproduction. We will never reproduce the faith. Faith is passed on from faith to faith. Amen. What's it? It's got to be based on the truth. Amen. We've got to stand on the truth. Now, there are so-called churches that have thrown the Bible out. Amen. I don't believe once you throw the Bible out that you can produce Christians in those kind of assemblies. Amen. Not that I don't believe people can get saved maybe by reading a gospel tract or get saved by one verse or whatever such as that. But I'm simply saying these that have thrown the Bible out, they've thrown out their strength. They've thrown out their power. They've thrown out their reproductive ability because they no longer stand on the truth. Amen. One fellow said this, and he's talking about how that a lot of churches today, matter of fact, these mega churches that spring up, they don't spring up by winning a gang of people to the Lord. They spring up one way is by sucking up a bunch of little churches. Members out of little churches come in and join their big church, be part of a big thing going. Amen. Amen. And I'm not here to bash Walmart, but it's the Walmart mentality in religion. That they put the little businesses out of business and you got the big super center that's getting everything done. But one man said this, and I think he's right. He said, in those cases, they're not the keepers of the flock. They're just moving fish from one fishbowl to a big aquarium. Amen. Keep moving the fish from different fishbowls into that aquarium and keep building the aquarium. Listen, I tell you what we need is we need to stand on the truth and ask God to help us reproduce with the truth. Amen. That's what reaches sinners. I believe that's right. A lot of these churches that have thrown out the Bible, their strength is found in their excitement. Their strength is found in their charisma. Their strength is found in their friendliness or in their love. They say, come as you are, you will be appreciated and you will be loved. And listen, I appreciate when people come and I love when people come and I want to love them, but I still want to tell them the truth. Amen. 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 They won't stand for anything godly because they have rejected the truth. Amen. When God saved you and I, you know what He did? One of the first things He did was that God gave us a new heart and a new mind. We started thinking differently. We started feeling differently. We started believing differently when we got saved by the grace of God. Amen. I believe that He's telling us here we need to maintain that Spirit-filled heart. We need to maintain that renewed life in its thought life. Amen. That renewed mind in its thought life. In other words, don't give the devil your thought life. Now listen to me, especially you young men and young ladies. Do not give the devil your thought life. If you let him have it, he'll run away with it. He'll make you imagine all kinds of things. If you give the devil your thought life, amen. What are you supposed to think on? Think on the truth. Think on the truth. I mentioned these areas, thought life, church life. Listen, don't give the devil your church life. Stand on the truth. Let's keep the truth at the church, amen. Don't give the devil your home life. Amen. Don't get to thinking about how bad it is and the grass is greener on the other side. Listen, I'm telling you, the grass ain't greener on the other side. I told my wife this today, I've said it before, but a woman that won't be satisfied with one man won't be satisfied with another man. Amen. If she's not satisfied with them two, she won't be satisfied with the third or the fourth or with three or four at a time. Same thing goes with a man, by the way. Amen. Once the devil gets your thought life towards always wanting something different, always wanting something new, he's wrecked your life is what he's done. He's ruined you. There'll be no satisfaction. Amen. Don't give the devil your thought life. Amen. I know we got all these gadgets, got all these cell phones and the ability to pull up and think and look at information and all this kind of stuff. We've got magazines, billboards all over the world. We've got all kinds of stuff to try to get your thought life. You better keep it in the things of God. Amen. Keep it in the things of God. Well, I got a thought life, church life, home life, business life. Don't give the devil your business life. Fight these ideas of greed and covetousness. Stand on the truth. Fight the temptations of dishonesty and selfishness. Stand on the truth. Amen. Amen. Fight against the wickedness of slothfulness and laziness. By the way, you should have a testimony with those you work around. Amen. They don't mean that you have to wear a t-shirt that says, I'm a Christian everywhere you go. Amen. That don't mean that you have to, as you shake hands with everybody when you come in the morning, you have to give every one of them a gospel tract every time you come in. No, I'm not saying that you got to, as they say, wear your Christianity on your shirt sleeve. But I believe it ought to just be what you are. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It ought to just be what you are. If they know whether you like Chevrolet or Ford, and we don't even count anything else, if they know which one of them you like, then they ought to know that you love Jesus. Amen. If they know which ball team you like, if you like any ball teams, they ought to know you love Jesus. I'm simply saying that ought to be more important than any of that other stuff. You ought to have a testimony of those you work around. And in order to maintain that testimony, there's going to be a spiritual fight against the devil and the things of the flesh. Amen. I told this story. I'll move on to my next point in a minute. I think I probably told it here, but when I was working in the glass factory, one of the latter jobs I did there in the latter years, I worked in the shipping. And our job was packing glass in the particular job I had right then. And we had these cases. Matter of fact, the case I was working on was about the size of this communion table. It was packing 12-inch by 72-inch, half-inch thick glass. Been beveled. You stack it three stacks high. You pack it as thick as you can. I don't remember now the number of pieces that you have in a case, but a case like that with that glass, of course, 12 inches, you got a lower level, you got styrofoam on it, then a second level, styrofoam on that, and a third level, but you don't have that case sitting flat like that, or your glass will fall out on the floor. You got it cocked backwards, and you pack all that glass in, and then you start packing in the styrofoam and you nail the cake, the front on, put your bands around it, seal the bands down, and then you come along with a jack, you get the jack up under it, and you kick those blocks out. We was working on a case like that, a case of glass, and we had it just almost completed, and a fellow came by with a forklift, and as a joke, he took his forks and just knocked the scotch out from under that block. Well, when he did, my foot was right there. When that thing came down, it landed on my foot. It was really a blessing, to be honest, because when it landed on my foot, my leg was able to hold the glass in like that. And so I'm sitting there, and the boss man ran to get a jack and fix that fellow's jaw. No, I'm kidding. He ran to get a jack and come over and get that back up so he could get it off my foot. And when he got done, this is what he said. He said, "Preacher, I was just waiting to see if you'd cuss." That's what he said. Now, I think he said that somewhat of a joke, but I think in reality he was wondering, what will he say? What will he do? Amen. I'm glad I didn't think about cussing. Amen. I'm glad it didn't enter into my mind. I'm glad for that. But here's my point. You've got a testimony at work. There's going to be battles come along to try your testimony, to try to wreck that testimony with the people you work around. Amen. You'll have to fight for it. So stand your ground with the truth. Secondly, guard your heart with righteousness. There in verse number 14, the latter part of that, he said, "Stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness." That breastplate covers the breast, of course, which is where our heart is. Amen. And so I've got the idea that that breastplate guards not only your heart, but the vital organs of your body. That breastplate is the largest and most visible part of your armor. It's also the largest target. Amen. You know, in the westerns and the movies they used to make, they'd always shoot the gun out of the hand of the perpetrator. You fellas that have been in classes, concealed carries, they don't train you to shoot the gun out of the hand of the perpetrator. You don't aim for his hand. What do you aim for? The biggest part of his body. That's right. The most likely part to hit. Amen. Multiple times, hopefully. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, that's what the devil does too. The devil aims for that strategic part that has the organs in it. Those vital organs. He aims many times for the heart. Amen. That is, I believe, the place the devil aims, but that is where our greatest help comes from. Here's what he said. It's not just a breastplate. It's a breastplate of righteousness. Oh, the best part of our armor is the fact that we're saved by the grace of God. It's not our righteousness. It's His righteousness. Amen. The biggest thing that protects me against the devil is the fact that I'm hid in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm wrapped up in His righteousness. Amen. And I say that using that, go back, I'm going to use that over and over, the thought life, the home life, the church life, the business life. Our thought life, we ought to think righteous thoughts, not unrighteous thoughts. Amen. Thereby guarding our thought life with righteousness. We ought to promote righteousness in our church life. Amen. Amen. Never fight against righteousness. Amen. Never condemn preaching against righteousness against sin, I should say, unrighteousness. Sometimes people do that. They say, "Why is he always harping on those things?" Amen. Well, I better. They get on that. Why does he always seem like he has to tighten up the standards? Why does he always have to seem like he runs everybody off? That's not the goal, to hurt anybody. The goal is to help people. The only way to help them sometimes is to tell them the truth. And you got to preach righteousness. I'm talking about I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm not me and you. I'm talking about members, church members, our church life. Never condemn preaching against sin. Never condone looseness or laxness towards evil. Do our best to maintain a pure church. Amen. Without spot or wrinkle that is pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. That means promoting righteousness. Amen. In our family life, we ought to exalt righteousness. Sometimes in our family life, our heart will cause us to overlook unrighteousness in our own family. Because we love them. Amen. I may have told this before. I preached a message several years ago. I entitled it, "Sin or Love Covers a Multitude of Sin, but it still don't make it right." There's a lot of things that we used to be real strong on until somebody in our family got caught up in it. Amen. When divorce comes home in your family, it gets hard to say, "That's not right." They say, "But I just want to be happy." It still don't make it right. Amen. I could say a multitude of things. That's just one of the things that comes to mind. In our home life, we've got to maintain righteousness. In our business life, we've got to maintain righteousness. Keep our dealings above board and honest. Amen. In the sight of God and man. So, number three, not only stand with the truth, not only protect your heart with righteousness, but number three, go forward with the gospel. Look at verse 15. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Your feet dealing with the fact of going forward. The shoes of the soldier protects his feet. Amen. They allow him to move over rough terrain. They allow him to move over hard objects and sharp objects. And amen. That's the shoes are for forward movement. Amen. Matter of fact, a lot of the, I don't know how all the soldiers, I don't know if all the shoes, I doubt they are all steel-toed shoes, but sometimes in church life it's good to have steel-toed shoes. Amen. That you can go forward, not let little things hurt your feelings. Amen. And trip you up. Amen. This thing about going forward, we ought to, the gospel. The gospel is all about go. Amen. Brother Ballou says you can't even spell the gospel without first spelling go. He said you can't even spell God without first spelling go. God wants us to go with the gospel. I believe that's right. Amen. Well, this thing about our thought life, keep Christ on our mind, and the fact of our mind that we might be able to present Christ to all those we meet. Amen. I touched on it this morning a little bit about the sports thing. I'll just tell you, I'll just tell you how God used to convince me that I need to put that aside. I was collecting baseball cards as well as watching baseball, and it was during the World Series. I was working in the glass factory at the time. We had at least two children, maybe three children. I don't remember now exactly what year it was that we'd already at least had two, maybe three children there in our quiver. And I was working overtime, trying to get all the overtime that I could. I was going in work at 4:45 each morning. And so we go in before daylight, drive down the road. I drove about 8 miles to work, 8.5 miles or so to work. And I was trying to memorize scripture. I was using the index cards like you was talking about. And I was trying to memorize scripture at the time and trying to put that in my mind. But I was also involved in that sports and the baseball game would come on. And I'll just be honest with you. It took precedent over my Bible reading, over my prayer time, and over my Bible memorization. Get up in the morning so tired that I didn't feel like reading my Bible before I went to work. I didn't feel like praying. I didn't feel like memorizing scripture. I'd try to do it going down the road. But that next night when it's time for the ball game to be back on, I was alert and ready for it. And that one morning I was driving, and it may have been on a Saturday morning. If it was, we went in at 4 on Saturday mornings. And early in the morning, meeting headlights on the road, and I'm trying to memorize Bible verses and trying to stay awake at the same time and going to work. And the Lord put this thought on me. What if you met somebody off the road and they was in an accident and they was in trouble and they needed some help? Here's what I thought. Lord, I can tell them Daryl Strawberry's batting average. Amen. I can tell them the lineup of the New York Mets, who's going to bat first, second, and third, if they're going regular. I can tell you if they're right-handed or left-handed. I can tell you the positions that they play on the field. I knew all that. It was in my mind. But I didn't know if I could remember enough Bible to help somebody and keep them out of hell if I met them on the road. And God said, there's some of that stuff you know you need to forget and quit trying to put more in your mind and put more of the Word of God in your mind. Amen. And so I obeyed him. Amen. I can't say that I memorized all the verses that I should, and I've not retained all the ones that I did memorize. But I'm simply saying this. God dealt with me about my thought life, what was going on in my mind. Listen, I'm telling you, you need the Word of God. You need righteousness. You need the gospel in your mind that you can help somebody with the gospel. Amen. Keep your mind on Christ. We ought to exalt Christ and His salvation work in our church. Never let church just be a social gathering. Amen. Never let church just be fellowship with friends. Then it's no better than Facebook. Amen. Guard against hiding the gospel light under a bushel down at the house of God. Amen. Amen. Don't just keep it in the four walls of the church. Let's get the light out. Amen. We need to give the gospel to our family. By the way, they're the hardest to witness to, the hardest to win, but they need the gospel story too. Amen. We need to be spreading the gospel on our job. So here's, go forward with the gospel. Number four, shield yourself with faith. Verse number 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. I underline that word, all. The devil's not got a dart that God don't give you the ability to quench. Amen. Well, preacher, the devil made me do it. Somewhere you let down the shield. Amen. Preacher, I'm in trouble. The devil's really got me in trouble. And listen, I've been there. I'm not putting you in a place. I've been there when I did not use the shield like I should have used it. And I took a hit. Amen. But I'm telling you that God's given us a shield that we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, he said. Amen. Shield our faith, ourselves with our faith. The Christian must live by faith. Faith's the only thing that pleases God. Amen. We know that from Hebrews 11. And so the enemy will attempt to get us to live in doubt. The enemy will attempt to get us to live in a constant state of fear. But God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. We can believe God. We're going to constantly make an effort, a definite effort, to believe God. I'm just going to believe Him. We've got to make up our mind. When the devil attacks you about doubts of God's love for you, you got to remind yourself. Listen, you can remind the devil, but it's good to remind yourself. God loved me so much that He gave His only begotten Son for me. Amen. Amen. Not just for me, but for the whole world. Amen. When the devil tries to throw up the fact saying God doesn't care, you know what you need to do? Throw up your shield of faith. God does care. He's met my needs 100 times. He's met my need thousands of times. Amen. Innumerable times. Protect your thought life by choosing to believe God and believe His Word. Amen. The enemy will point out all the hypocrites and the failures in the church. Amen. You throw up your shield of faith and say, yeah, but somebody needs to live right. Somebody needs to be real. Somebody needs to be true. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the good people God has put in our pathway as well. Amen. When the devil tells you about your home, when the devil says everybody cheats on their spouse, you can call him a liar, by the way. You can call him a liar. I don't know if you have or not, but I haven't. Amen. And you ought to be able to say the same thing. Amen. You don't have to cheat on your spouse. I know what, but everybody's doing it. No, they're not. That's a lie of the devil. Everybody's not smoking marijuana. Amen. Everybody's not getting drunk. Everybody's not doing what, even all the young people are not going to the devil like the world wants us to think they are. It's a lie of the devil. Amen. Don't give up the church. Put up your shield of faith. Amen. Don't give up your family. Put up your shield of faith. Amen. Amen. When the devil, here's one the devil says, you know, every teenager has to go through a time of rebellion. No, you don't. No, you don't. Do you know that our Lord Jesus Christ was a teenager? He never rebelled one time. Amen. Amen. When Satan shows you all the crooked business dealings going on all around you and tells you, you know, the only way to get ahead is to be like them. I tell you what you can do. Throw up your shield of faith. Say, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do it like God said. And I'm going to believe God's going to prosper me how He wants me to be. Amen. I believe that's right. Well, let me give you the next one. There's protect your mind with salvation. That's verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Just that first phrase. And take the helmet of salvation. You know, the helmet protects the head. That protects the mind. I believe, I mentioned about that breastplate being so important, and it is. But I believe this helmet of salvation may very well be the most important, because the mind is the devil's battlefield. Somebody called it the mind is Satan's workshop. It's his playground. He loves to work on people's mind. Amen. I believe this piece of armor that God has given us here in our text corresponds. Now you have a helmet of salvation. Well, what's your salvation in? Your salvation is in Christ. So if you have the mind of Christ, you'd have the helmet of salvation. Amen. I believe that's corresponding with that fact. Having the mind of Christ. Thinking like Christ wants us to think. Amen. That deals somewhat with discernment. Amen. Being able to tell good from evil and make the decisions, I'm not going that way. Amen. Amen. Sometimes just good old common sense would go a long way. Some of the devil's arguments. Here's what the devil says to young people, for example. He says, fellas, you're missing out on life. How do you know you don't like beer unless you drink it? Well, let me ask this. How do you know you wouldn't like your head under an 18-wheeler's tire? You got some common sense. Amen. You say, what's that? How's that correspond? Both of them's deadly. Both of them's dumb. Amen. You don't have to try something, see whether you like it or not. You can say, I can leave that alone. I can trust my parents. I can trust God. I can trust the preacher on that. Amen. Amen. I believe that's right. Well, turn to 1 Corinthians. We'll hold our place here in Ephesians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know we've looked at these verses before, but I want to show you this thing about discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. That has the idea of discernment. Yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we, here's my phrase, but we have the mind of Christ. Talk about saved people. Be sure to wear your helmet of salvation. When you got saved, God gave you a renewed mind. Thinking like Christ. Well, how does Christ think? Turn to Philippians. If you're in Ephesians 6, just probably one page, you'll be in Philippians chapter 2. Page or two, whatever you have to turn there. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 8 tells us the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I should have stopped at verse number 8. That phrase there, the idea there, having the mind of Christ that humbles ourselves. Not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Amen. Matter of fact, there comes a time when you need to bring into captivity your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 deals with that. If you want to turn, you can. I'll turn there and read 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's having the mind of Christ, putting on that shield of faith, keeping out other thoughts, letting our thought life be on Christ, and that will protect our head. That will protect our vision. You know why people don't see things in the Bible like that they ought to see it? It's because they're not thinking right. Amen. You know why people can't see that the gospel needs to be spread around the world? They're not thinking right. You know why people can't hear the call of God that says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? It's because they're not thinking right. Their head's not right. Amen. And it leads them off into trouble. When you listen to preaching and teaching in the church, you ought to have the mind of Christ that you can discern what's true and what's false doctrine. Amen. Dealing with our church life. Amen. Dealing in our home life. We need the mind of Christ as well. Amen. That we might be servants. Remember, the home's not here to serve us. We're in the home to serve those in the home. If you're being submitted one to another in the fear of God. Amen. We like to jump on that about the wife being in subjection, but he's talking about us submitting together now. Amen. There's places where it works together. I could say a whole lot about that. I don't have time. I've already gone longer than I thought I would. Look at number 6, and I got two more. Verse 17, back in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation, this phrase, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what we do? We fight the enemy with the Word of God. It's not our word against his. It's God's word against the devil. Amen. We fight the enemy. I'm not fighting the enemy with what grandma told me, grandpa told me. I'm not fighting the enemy with what they've done all these years in the church age. No, I'm fighting the enemy with what the Bible says. That's what it's based on. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, he says, is the word of God. Amen. I believe it was Brother Steve was telling me, it could have been something Joshua told me recently. One of them said, was talking about something they read. Somebody's talking about in these churches where all they have is just the Spirit. Everything's just all up in the Spirit, and there's no truth, no Word of God in there. And here's what one man said. He said, what good is the Spirit doing without his sword? Boy, that is right. It's not just all Spirit. It's got to have the sword with it. And then you might say, well, what good's the sword without the Spirit? We do need them both. Amen. And that's true. But the Word of God, I believe, will deflect the approach of the enemy. When the enemy's coming, that Word of God is an offensive and a defensive weapon. You've seen in sword fights, they block as well as parry. Amen. There's a strike forward. There's a swing forward. There's also the blocking that sword can do. I'm glad the Word of God will keep us out of some things, and the Word of God will help us advance in some things. Amen. And the Word of God is our only visible weapon of attack. What does that mean? It's our sole authority on what to believe and how to live and do. Amen. It is our soul, not S-O-U-L, but S-O-L-E. The only authority we have, amen, is the Word of God. In all matters concerning our thought life, our church life, our home life, even our business life. Amen. The last one, I believe we win the battle with prayer. Amen. We win the battle with prayer. A lot of times people when studying this armor, really, if you want to think about it, the armor could have ended in verse number 15 because the other two things are additional parts. You got the shield and the helmet's part of it, but the shield and the sword is not actually part of the armor. It's part of the weaponry, the artillery. And that's really what all this deals with. The armor is dealing with the artillery of the saints. But a lot of times they end with verse number 17. But I like the way that the King James Bible translated it, and it's right. There's not a period at the end of verse 17. The thought continues on. You got all this stuff going with it, And he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And that verse don't even end with a period. He goes on talking about, and for me also. And he's talking about how that we pray for him. But I want to deal specifically with this thought about prayer and supplication just a minute as we get ready to close. All the armor of God is coated and covered with prayer. Amen. Your helmet won't fit right and won't work right without prayer. Your breastplate won't fit right and do right without prayer. Your shoes won't fit right and protect right without prayer. Your sword won't wield right without prayer. You go on and on. There's not a... Every bit of that weaponry, all of it with prayer, all of it, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Amen. This idea that I've got here is this point. It's not just things we do. It's not just thoughts we have. It's actually communicating with God. Lord, I'm not going to stand and believe that just because I've got a King James Bible that I'm a match for the devil. Lord, I need your strength. I'm not standing in my strength even with a King James Bible. I'm standing in your strength with a King James Bible. Amen. I'm not standing in my strength just because I'm in a good family. I'm not standing in my strength just because I'm in a good church. No, I'm standing in the Lord's strength with a family and in the Lord's strength with a good church. That's what we got to have. Prayer. Communication between us and God. I believe prayer is the means of obtaining the armor. I believe prayer is the means of putting the armor on. I believe prayer is the means of cinching all the armor together. Amen. Prayer. Everything we do ought to be covered in prayer. Amen. Pray about your thought life. Pray about your home life. Pray about your church life. Pray about your business life. Pray about the dealings with the devil, the attacks of the enemy, the approaches of the wicked one. Prayer is our invisible weapon that makes these visible weapons, he said, actually work. Amen. If I could say it this way, I'm done. This cordless mic that I've got on helps you be able to hear me. Now, this one would if it... Okay, I don't hear it being on. It's probably turned off. Brother Robert handles the mics. I appreciate the way he does it. This cordless mic helps you be able to hear me. Even you probably could, if when I'm hollering, you could probably hear me anyway, right? But this thing helps. But I could be up here without a battery and that thing. Matter of fact, he told me this morning I need another battery, so I put a new one in it tonight before we started. But I could be up here with that thing on, and you say, I wonder why I can't hear the preacher. He's got his mic. Maybe he don't have it turned on. I could have it turned on, but without a battery, still ain't doing much. You say, maybe Brother Robert forgot to turn him on back there. He could have me turned on back there, but without a battery, it ain't doing much. Here's my point. You can have your sword. You can have your breastplate. You can have your helmet. You can have all that on. But you know what you got to have to make it all work? You got to have the battery of prayer. I believe that. You got to have the battery of prayer that energizes all those things to give us ability to stand. Now here's what he said. Let me read you back those verses. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. There's my thought. Listen, don't give up the fight. Stand and fight. Amen. I preached a message years ago at Vision there in North Carolina. I entitled it this: we're living in standing room only days. There's no room to sit down. There's no room to back up. It's standing room only now. The devil is mowing down families right and left. The devil's taking captives right and left. The devil's causing casualties right and left. You know what we've got to do? We've got to put on the whole armor of God. And we've got to get back on our prayer bones, as they say. Amen. Get back on our knees, getting hold of God. Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, as they come with a song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Word of God again that helps us. Thank you, Lord, for the instruction. Lord, for the exhortation of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, in these matters. Help us to protect our thought life against the enemy. He loves to attack in the thought life. Father, help us to protect our church life from the enemy. He loves to attack in the church. Lord, help us to protect our home life from the enemy. Again, he loves to cause disturbance in the home. Lord, help us protect our business life. Those we come into contact with, whether we're working in business or we're doing business with somebody. Help us to represent Christ. Father, teach us again to put on the whole armor of God and teach us again to pray with all prayer and supplication and help us to stand and fight against the enemy. Lord, I pray you bless the Word of God to every heart. I pray especially strengthen the weak and the feeble. Lord, those that have believed on the Lord, and yet the devil attacks and brings doubts and fears. I pray for your strength in these days. I pray, dear God, you'd draw sinners and you'd encourage saints. And again, Lord, I do pray for revival in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, you obey the Lord and do what he said.